Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. My guest today is James Petras. Jim, it's great to have you back. I missed you last month, and I think everybody needs a break. I might try that sometime.
Well, I had a trip to Ireland and Spain to look firsthand at the economic crisis, and it was a very revealing visit. In addition to enjoying the Irish scenery and the bad weather, I learned that Ireland has the greatest out-migration since the Great Famine of the 19th century. There's been an outflow of 300,000 mostly young educated people over the last 4 years, which is about 12% of the entire labor force of 2.1 million. So the crisis is really much more severe than the unemployment data, which lists at about 4.3%. If you add on the emigres, the people that are leaving, fleeing the crisis, it probably doubles. And that's the real situation, and it doesn't portend for anything different in the future. In Spain, on the other hand, particularly in the Basque Country, I witnessed the preparations for a general strike, which was about 70% effective in the Basque Country. And there, instead of flight, the slogan is fight. And throughout the country, I saw a great deal of solidarity and largely got to appreciate the Basque desire for independence. And the idea of separating from a degenerate dictatorial regime that still salutes Franco's 35 years of dictatorship is nothing very salutary. So I think it was very useful to travel abroad and see the enormous damage that the current capitalist crisis is inflicting on people, but also the divergent responses where you don't see the possibilities of fighting and winning. People try to move geographically, and where they see the opportunities for organizing and fighting, they stay and hold their ground.
Well, Jim, there's no question about that. I don't know where most people can go. If you look across Europe, I haven't written too much about Europe lately, but I certainly did some time ago. You look at the Eurozone, 17 countries. I mean, these countries are trapped in what I call the Euro straitjacket, where these countries surrender their sovereignties to a foreign financial power called the ECB, European Central Bank. I mean, why would a nation surrender its sovereignty? And apparently, Latvia wants to jump on board this sinking ship. Latvia, that's had one of the most devastated economies in Europe. We hear a lot about Greece and Spain and Italy and Ireland and Portugal, Jim. We don't hear an awful lot about Latvia. Slovakia, I think, is in bad trouble also. We don't hear as much about it. But Latvia actually wants to join the EU. I mean, it's astonishing that the leaders of a country literally want to get on board a sinking ship. But the horrors going on across Europe, especially the Southern Belt. Ireland is an exception up in the north, but it's in trouble. Britain's in trouble. America's in trouble. It's not a very pretty picture, Jim.
Well, since they don't have any solutions, and despite the so-called favorable data on employment in the U.S., which is very fraudulent because it doesn't count people that have dropped out of the labor market, people that are working less than 10 hours a week. It doesn't count the number of new jobs which are paying absolutely below the standard of living of normal people. Most of the new jobs, by the way, were in the restaurant and the service, so-called low-paid service sector, which most of those jobs don't offer any benefits, health insurance, pensions, anything regarding vacations. So the net picture is still negative, and the response parallels that the monstrous revelations that 300 million Americans are under surveillance in every single media that they communicate with, telephones, the internet, whatever they write. As they write their articles or letters, it's being transmitted to the secret police, the National Security Agency, etc. This isn't the coming of the police state. This is the living reality. And as we've mentioned in the past, Obama far surpasses in terms of mounting this, and with such ugly arrogance, Holder going out and saying this is right, Democratic leaders in Congress, Feinstein, Reid, justifying the mounting of a total surveillance over every single American. The Republicans, of course, cheering on the side. Only groups that are condemning it are the civil liberties groups, the people that still uphold the Constitution. But people that say, well, we got to check Obama through the Congress. Well, the Congress, the Democrats, are 100% behind it, and Obama pointed out that they consulted or informed Congress that they were carrying out these surveillances, and then Verizon and Google and all these outlets actually collaborating and agreeing and handing over all the personal files, photographs, intimate letters to the police authorities. This is worse than 1984, the George Orwell nightmare novel. This is a reality that penetrates everybody's household in every single way. There's no part of your house or your life that is free from government spying today.
Jim, there's no question about that. I'm writing more about what's going on, the story that The Guardian broke in two articles and The Washington Post picked up in it, and there's a little bit of a mini firestorm going on in the major media, although I'll be including some comments from a Wall Street Journal editorial where they call, mega spying is good. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, the Wall Street Journal, it's hard to distinguish where the secret police begins and where the Wall Street editors end. They seem to be connected, identical twins, a two-headed monster. I think what is very serious is the prosecution of whistleblowers like Manning and other people in the government who, under the belief that the government was really interested in ousting and identifying swindlers and scandal mongers and people engaged in illegal and criminal behavior, the messengers get the acts and the scoundrels and violators of human rights go scot-free. So the persecution even goes deeper into the government. It attacks journalists, the reporters, military officials who are trying their best to reveal the violations of the American military code and constitution. They face life imprisonment or worse. So we are in a full-fledged police state headed by Papa Obama. I think Papa Doc in Haiti could learn a few tricks. The monster killer of the Haitian people could learn a few tricks from the drone killer and police state operator and justifier Obama.
Well, Jim, I absolutely agree with you. He literally took the worst of what went on in the Bush administration and accelerated it, expanded it, kept all of the egregious police state laws that the Bush administration passed, beginning with the Patriot Act, which is an absolute unconstitutional piece of legislation. And I mentioned that and I highlighted in the article I'm writing. I've written a number of articles on institutionalized spying in America. What the Guardian broke was they got leaked information. They got an official government document that the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, is absolutely apoplectic about. And I'm going to quote a comment. Yeah, he's got a very long statement on it. I'm going to quote some of what he said. I don't want to include it all. Yeah, I haven't read it all. It looks like it would take up a good part of my article. But this stuff has been going on since 9/11. The Bush administration began it. It's been reported on before. I've written at least half a dozen articles on this. So it's not really new news. The idea that this document was leaked, maybe that's a little bit on the news side. And they're naming more organizations involved. Literally every telecom company of America that met, every one that anybody can name, every major one is involved in this. It's not just Verizon. I wrote about AT&T on this. A whistleblower who worked for AT&T for 22 years, a guy named Mark Klein, he's retired. He turned whistleblower. He blew the whistle on AT&T. So they have a secret room in this San Francisco facility. They're basically tapping into every telephone communication of all of their customers, and they're handing it over to the NSA. So AT&T is doing it. Verizon is doing it. They're all doing it. And now we know that Apple's involved, Yahoo, Facebook, Google. Well, Google is tied with the CIA, and I wrote about how Google may be partnering with Bilderberg that kicked off yesterday, and Schmidt, their CEO, is in England, suburban London, at the Bilderberg meeting. Well, he's closely allied with all of these thugs. Jim, I could barely catch my breath thinking about all of this.
Well, I think that this police state in large part accounts for what appears to be apathy in the U.S. I think when you're involved in every communication that Americans engage in, you're very strongly in a position to paralyze and neutralize any kind of social organization. I think that we underestimate the fact that people are misinformed. I think people are clearly fearful of all this police surveillance and spying and the threats that they see through these exemplary punishments like Bradley Manning and others are facing life or probably even the death sentence. I think these kinds of operations, massive police state operations, have a real dampening effect on activists. The fear of being linked in some indirect and far-fetched way with what's called security threats. I think this is really what has put the damper on the emergence of any kind of significant social movements, peace movements, etc. Plus the fact that the entire Democratic Party, with perhaps one or two exceptions, has gone along with this, has approved it, and is cheering it on. That eliminates any kind of political reference point for people that can say, well, I'm going to stand up because I have Senator XY, I have Congressman so forth engaged in this fight. There's no reference points in the American two-party system today. The Democrats have gone whole hog in this police state operation. And I think the appointments that Obama is making now to the United Nations, the National Security Advisor, these are rabid Democrats. These are people, academics. These are women. All the superficial comments, we get more women, we'll get more peace. We get more blacks, we'll get greater justice. This is all unadulterated crap. It doesn't make any difference whether you're black or white, women or male. The politics is what counts. The ties to the elite, the bellicose rhetoric that's spouted by Samantha Powers and the others that have been brought on board, they're just as bad as Jews and Protestants and Catholics that get in the government, whether they're male or Wall Streeters. They're all on the same line, and it's all a very hostile to any peace settlements anywhere in the world.
Well, indeed, Jim, it certainly doesn't matter. The Democrats absolutely are as bad as the Republicans. The people in key positions, you get some Democrats, maybe a few Republicans, who simply are not part of the power structure, and maybe they have different views from the mainstream. But overall, both parties are in lockstep on all the major issues mattering most, including these appalling police state laws that are on the books. And you hit the nail on the head, Jim. Obama would never get away with what he's doing if Congress wasn't on board, and if the courts weren't on board, especially the Supreme Court. The idea of getting justice, either in legislation or in good judicial rulings from the highest courts in the land, it's impossible. These people are in bed with power and privilege, and they don't give a damn about the rule of law. And one more comment, Jim. As far as I'm concerned, the Constitution, flawed as it may be, is the bedrock legal document of the country. Congress is not authorized to pass any law that subverts any constitutional privilege. So you go back to the Patriot Act that trashed 3 or 4 Bill of Rights amendments. This law is unconstitutional. No legitimate Congress ever would have passed a law like this. No legitimate court, if it was brought up to it, would ever allow the Congress to get away with something like this. If you cannot change the Constitution except by amendment, and then I think you need 2/3 of the states to approve it, and you certainly don't get that overnight, and it doesn't happen very often. So literally, we have a lawless situation going on. We have 3 branches of government enforcing it. Nothing is done at state and local levels, and if things just get worse and worse and worse, and we get a revelation like this spying going on. Well, it's been going on for years. It was going on before 9/11. Just got ratcheted up a great deal after 9/11. Anybody can be grabbed for any reason or none at all. They can come after any of us, Jim. They can be listening to you and me right now and saying these guys are terrorists.
I think they are, Steve. I don't think they could be. According to the revelations, all these telephone calls are monitored. It's not a question. They could be, Steve. We have now the documented proof. Official government documents that all phone calls are being monitored. This is a qualitative change from what existed under Bush. I remember the figures. We saw 40 million phones and faxes, et cetera, monitored in the last years of the Bush administration. Now we have 300 million and counting. But I think the main point I would like to drive home, Steve, is this isn't simply a projection of authoritarian personality. The politics behind this are very clear. Inequalities are growing. The concentration of wealth is growing. The government has subsidized and cut taxes for the most important financial groups. There are greater amount of involvement in wars. The U.S. is projecting now military and encirclement strategies toward China. It's clandestine support for the Syrian terrorists invading that country. So the politics behind the repressive state are really crucial. That is to say, you cannot convince people in this country to support the inequalities between a CEO making 500 times what the average worker in one of their enterprises earns. That's a jump from 350 that existed in the early 90s. So you're getting this great concentration of wealth. You're getting the pillage of the U.S. Treasury. You're getting greater and greater cuts in Social Security and in Medicare. So how do you respond to the obvious opposition to these programs that exist latent among the great majority of American people? By deepening and widening the police state. And I think the same goes for inhibiting debate on foreign policy. If you say that the Syrian government is fighting for self-determination, that Hezbollah intervened on the Lebanese-Syrian border to eliminate a sanctuary for cross-border terrorist attack, You're being recorded and you're put in the file. And who knows how this file, who will be visited next, who will be accused of aiding and abetting terrorists. I think that the key point here is to link this police state with the larger political, economic, and foreign policy issues, which are so regressive and in such a travesty to American economic and political interests.
Well, Jim, I certainly agree with that. It really is a very, very frightening situation, and too few people realize the threat to their security directly, literally to their security, where anybody can be targeted for any reason or no reason at all. If the government wants to come after you at the federal, state, and local level, and state and local authorities are directly complicit with what's going on in Washington, local police forces are militarized per a cooperation and complicity with Washington. This has been going on for years. I think it gets worse and worse all the time. And as the technology improves, they can do so much more. Maybe I'm sure they can do more now than they could do a few years ago or a decade ago. Just imagine what they're going to be able to do some time ago, Jim. I include in the article that I'm still working on, an article written by Wired.com a year ago last May, where it was a quote from David Petraeus, before he was defrocked, he was still CIA head, and the headline of the article was, I don't think he used this word, but the headline of the article was to the effect that they're going to be spying on you through your dishwasher, through your television set.
That is quite likely. They've developed these whiz kids in Silicon Valley and developing more and more technological innovations that facilitate access of the most intimate sort of everyday life of people. But, you know, Steve, I think that this comes down to something very local. You know, in Philadelphia the other day, a building collapsed that was being put up by a developer with a felonious record, and there's no criminal charges. There's no government regulators, inspectors that are overlooking this. You had a terrible fire and blow up in Texas. Scores of people were killed, and no negligence, no corporate negligence is taken into account. Upstate New York, not 20 minutes drive from where I'm speaking from, a trailer truck unhitched and killed seven people, including four children, and there's no inspection. There's a billionaire junk man that's involved, and he's painted as a big philanthropist. And who investigates philanthropists? In other words, what we have here is the complete impunity of the wealthy people today, because they have control of the regulatory justice police systems, and they're protected. These authorities are protected by this police state legislation and atmosphere. So it goes down to the local level when they close schools and create tremendous problems, overcrowded schools in Chicago and Philadelphia and other places. You wonder why people don't become involved, and it's because of the impunity of the state and the police state rights that give them a right to investigate. You start protesting the closing of schools, you become a security threat. You're threatening the authorities, and that threatening the authorities means that you may be aiding and abetting the terrorists who are opposed to the security apparatus. So the police apparatus affects people in their everyday life, whether it's job safety, whether it's schools, whether it's failures of safety devices on trailer trucks. It's very pervasive, and this is where it all comes down when we talk about the police state on a national level hold up. It works itself all the way down to the impunity of the rich and the collaboration of the police authorities in giving them that impunity.
Well, it's absolutely true, Jim. I wrote one article on the violence unleashed against the Turkish people that is still going on after about a week. And Obama, U.S. official statements out of Washington express very tepid criticism of what's going on. But what's never mentioned is the outrageous police brutality in America, including my own city of Chicago, where police are shooting poor blacks, Latinos, anybody they want. They do what they want with impunity. I mean, they're murdering them in cold blood, and they always lie, saying, well, this guy threatened me. Well, this guy threatened nobody. The police just commit murder with impunity. Or in New York, where they have this horrendous, well, this stuff goes on in New York, of course, and you've got this horrendous stop-and-frisk policy against blacks or Latinos, and there's a Center for Constitutional Rights lawsuit going on. It's still being heard. I thought it might be over by the end of May. I have to check on it. I think it's still ongoing. It was ongoing for weeks to try to get some of this stuff stopped. But this stuff goes on all over America. You have very little about it reported. But you literally have a police state, as you say, Jim. America is a police state, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And as bad as it was on the Republican Bush, Obama took it to a higher level.
Yes, and Steve, remember that incident of a FBI investigation of a immigrant Chechen, supposedly in Florida, under
yes.
The FBI walked in to his house and in the course of an interrogation put 7 bullets in this guy's head and body. And at first the claim was that he attacked with an instrument of violence. One of the interrogators, and it turns out that there was no weapon at the time, neither a knife nor a gun nor a shoehorn that could possibly have served as a pretext for shooting him. He was murdered in cold blood, and possibly he knew something about the Boston bombing and the role of the FBI as a possible accomplice, and he was murdered in cold blood in his own house, and it was even revealed in a brief news item, and nothing has happened. There's been the FBI agent involved, the agency that organized the interrogation. They have no repercussions. There's no follow-up. There's no saying this guy was executed in cold blood. We have to prosecute the FBI and see who the intellectual authors of that crime. How high up does it go? But no, he was blown away by a secret police investigation on what appeared to be a major case. They admitted he had nothing to do with the bombing in Boston, but he may have known about the FBI's complicity with the alleged bombers, and so he was murdered, period.
He was absolutely murdered. This guy did absolutely nothing to attack the FBI. Dead men tell no tales, Jim. They kill him in cold blood. They killed the older Tamerlane brother, too. I don't think either brother had anything to do with what went on in Boston. They were set up as innocent patsies, and they murdered the older brother, and the younger one was lucky to survive. He got on the phone with his mother at the end of May, and he said to his mother, I'm surprised this was reported by the London Telegraph. He told his mother, neither he nor his brother had anything to do with what went on in Boston. And they're going to convict him. They're going to put him away for life. He may get the death penalty. This is justice in America, Jim.
Yes, Steve, and I think the only way to counter it is for people to begin locally, where their schools are being closed, or where their threats, dangerous situations, health situations, on the job. I think that's the only place to begin. People have to start demanding that justice be done in their everyday life, or else life will deteriorate even more. People will live in and under constant fear of their everyday existence.
Absolutely, Jim. I've got to sign off. We're out of time. I certainly concur in that. If we don't do something, it's just going to get worse. That's the way it happens throughout history. We damn well better do something. Many thanks, Jim.
Okay, Steve, keep writing. You're doing a marvelous job. I really read every column you send me.
I'll be sending more, and I'll just alert my listeners. Join me again tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.